It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help, and can't get a hold of anyone. If you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right, a real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
Over the years, I'd heard about Deepak Chopra and had read one of his books, Quantum Healing, and had been fascinated by it. Well, Dr. Chopra has a philosophy that I'm anxious to share with all of you. It's the kind of philosophy that I think can keep us healthy. In fact, he says followers of his philosophy will outlive most of us. In his book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, he talks about how we do not even have to age as we know aging to be in our society. We're glad to have you join us.
Thank you. It's very kind of you. <laughs> Yes.
Now, I want to talk about all the things that you say in this book. Let's start with, first of all, you say we're the only creatures on Earth who can change our biology by what we think and what we feel.
That's because we have a thinking body. Whenever you have a thought, you make a chemical that goes along with the thought. And there are receptors to these chemicals, not only in brain cells, but in all the cells of your body. So if you look at immune cells, for example, that help you fight against cancer and infection. Immune cells have receptors. They're listening. They're eavesdropping to your internal dialogue. Now, we are the only people who have a nervous system that knows this. And so by knowing this, by being aware of this, we can consciously change the chemistry of our body, because to think is to practice brain chemistry and body chemistry.
I'm fascinated by that thought, because that's like when you're thinking, you all know when you're thinking a happy thought and you're feeling real good about yourself and you're thinking you're cute that day, that you kind of produce a kind of something in your body that makes you even happier. It's like sort of pleasure, endorphins
right.
or something.
Yeah, more than that. You produce imipramine, which is an antidepressant. You produce immunomodulators like interleukins and interferons, which are powerful anti-cancer drugs. So if you're going on a joyride and you feel very joyful and you feel ebullient and you feel effervescent, your body is flooded with these chemicals that are very powerful anti-cancer drugs. If you had to buy them, it might cost you about $40,000 to do that. But you make millions of dollars of these when you do that, when you have
the experience. So every single thought that you have is creating something in your body chemically.
Right. Not just in your brain. For example, when you say, I have a gut feeling about such and such, your gut is making chemicals that reflect that thought. Your gut is smarter than your brain because it doesn't doubt its own thinking. It has evolved to a stage where the gut, that's what intuition is. It's your body giving you messages in the form of comfort or discomfort or an inner knowing. Or when you say, my heart is heavy with sadness, then the heart is actually loaded with sad chemicals. When you say, I'm bursting with joy, happy molecules.
Happy molecules.
Happy molecules.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of people find this to be very controversial because, you know, I have friends now who are suffering with cancer. And when you talk about this kind of thing, that your body, your mind creates whatever is going on in your body, that makes people feel like they have to blame themselves for the disease they created. But so are you saying that if you have disease, you have the disease because you somehow, because of every thought you've had, put it there?
See, it's much more complicated than that. We are participants in everything that happens in our life. To that extent, we have to take responsibility. And to the extent we can change our participation, if you come to me and you say, I have this problem, I can tell you what are the things in your life that you can change, whether it's in your diet, your lifestyle, your sleep patterns, your relationships. Basically, it amounts to the toxicity in your life. Toxic environments, toxic toxic food, toxic drinks, toxic relationships, mm-hmm. toxic emotions.
Toxic relationship can make
sure,
you sick.
Sure, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. So all these ultimately cause toxins in your body. And we have to get rid of those toxins. 10 people can be exposed to a carcinogen. Not everybody gets cancer. 100 people are exposed to a virus. Not everybody comes down with the cold. So let's look at those factors that make you susceptible and those factors that make you resistant to this disease, cancer or whatever. And then we'll try and change those factors. And you and I will take a responsibility to do that.
Okay, let's talk about how we're all connected, mind, body, and spirit.
Well, the mind is the thoughts that we have. The body is the molecules, the chemicals that those thoughts produced. But who is having those thoughts? That's the spirit. And the spirit is in the silent spaces between the thoughts. So right now, for example, as I'm speaking to you, mm-hmm. I'm orchestrating a certain sequence of thoughts. I could say, I'm going to take off my shoe, I'm going to put on my shoe, I'm going to make a phone call, I'm going to pay you a compliment. Between this idea and the next idea is me, the thinker of the thought, who could make infinite choices. In every little space between my thoughts is the infinite choice maker. That's the spirit.
That is the spirit.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
Are you ready to unlock your inner greatness? If so, make sure to listen to my podcast, The School of Greatness, hosted by me, Lewis Howes. Join me as I sit down with world-class performers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to uncover their secrets to success with new episodes every single week. Whether you're striving for personal growth, business mastery, or simply seeking inspiration, The School of Greatness has something for you, and you can find it on SiriusXM, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe and follow to the show so you never miss an episode and start your journey to greatness today.
Spirit. Now, isn't part of the problem of all the suffering in the world, particularly when it comes to disease, is that people think that they are their bodies?
Yes, people think they are physical machines that have learned how to think. In fact, they are a spirit that makes thoughts that has learned how to create the physical machine. And if you really want to heal yourself, then you want to get in touch with that part of yourself that's not time-bound, that's not in the field of change, that's non-changing. There's a part of you, Oprah, that is there when you were a little child, when you were an adolescent, uh-huh. that is there now, and it hasn't changed. It's that little child that's witnessing the scene, and it's standing behind with an alert appreciation of all the roles you've played, you know, the film star.
Now, is that a little child or is that just a memory of the little child?
Actually, it's even primordial to the memory of the little child. It's the silent spirit behind the scenes. If I'm playing Hamlet today and I'm playing Julius Caesar tomorrow, the me that's playing those roles doesn't change. It's just the roles that are changing. That part of you that doesn't change is the spirit. And as I said, it's in the silent spaces between your thoughts. And it's a real force. The spirit is as real as gravity or time. It's equally as abstract, incomprehensible, mysterious, but it's much more powerful. You get in touch with the spirit and you can change your whole world.
Okay. You say that this means that the line between biology and psychology can't really be drawn with any certainty. A remembered stress, which is only a wisp of a thought, releases the same flood of hormones as the stress itself.
Right.
How is that? And what does that mean?
Because the brain doesn't know the difference between an actual experience and an imagined experience. If I anticipate surgery, then I'm afraid of the surgery, I'll release the same flood of hormones as the surgical procedure. In fact, I might release even more. If I think in my mind that I'm watching the sun, my pupils will dilate. If I think in my mind I'm in the darkness, the pupils will contract. If I think I'm holding some hot coals in my hand, the temperature will go up. If I think I'm holding ice in this hand, the temperature will go down. So every wisp of thought releases a flood of hormones and chemicals and chemical messengers, and every little cell in your body is eavesdropping on that. In fact, your body is nothing other than the projection of your own consciousness. We experience ourselves objectively as the body. We experience ourselves subjectively as the mind, and actually whatever we are experiencing is an aspect of our own self.
So that means, for instance, if you've had a traumatic experience, or you, let's just talk about what goes on in everybody's lives. If you're worried about something and you don't see any resolution to that, the worry about the experience causes as much problem as the actual experience.
If not more, because when you're actually in the midst of the experience, you have an alert appreciation of the experience and you can handle it. You know what to do at that time. The right response comes to you for the situation as it occurs. But so, if you're worrying about it, then your attention is caught up in that.
So as you are worrying about it, you're creating stress in your body, which can create the chemical that makes whatever that disease is that results from that particular worry.
Right. Stress is...
Have we discovered whether or not certain things, like for instance, people who repress anger or people who are angry all the time, whether or not certain emotions cause certain diseases?
Yes. Anger causes inflammatory disorders more than anything else. Depression is correlated with cancer. Guilt is also correlated with cancer.
Repressing things inside.
You see, the only two real emotions we always experience are pain and pleasure. And when we experience the pain and we let ourselves experience it as it's occurring, mm-hmm. then we don't have problems. But if we withhold it, then it gets locked up inside our body as anger. And if we redirect it, it becomes guilt. If we anticipate it in the future, it becomes fear. But all these fear, anger, guilt, depression are expressions of our inability to feel the pain when we are having it.
Because we're afraid to feel it.
Because we're afraid to face it.
Okay, we're talking today with Dr. Deepak Chopra, the author of many books, including Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. Dr. Chopra says, we can all live past 100. Question is, do we want to? If we follow an ancient healing science, we asked him to give us a tour of a center in Massachusetts. Take a look what goes on there.
This is a center where people come with chronic illness, but they also come here to have the experience of health. This procedure, Shirodhara, brings about a state of restful alertness in the brain. And when the brain is rested, the body is rested. And when the body is rested, healing is amplified. The skin is one of the richest sources of healing chemicals and hormones. An effective massage can release a flood of hormones and chemicals, the effects of which can last for up to 3 weeks.
Next, open the palms in toward the chest, lock the thumbs together.
Yoga gives you the experience of your body as a component of the spirit, the mind, and the physical body.
So, you say that aging is a mistake.
Well, you know, when I was researching this book, I found that we have some real misconceptions about the aging process. For example, almost everybody believes that aging is fatal. But you look at the data and you find nobody really dies of old age. They die of diseases that accompany old age, which are largely preventable. Everybody believes that aging is irreversible. Now, that's also a misconception, because if you remove toxins from your body, if you learn to get the stress out of your life through meditation, if you change your environment, mm-hmm. and if you undergo certain procedures like increase antioxidants in your diet, you can actually reverse the biological markers of aging. Like, your hormone levels will reverse. There's a sex steroid called dehydroepiandrosterone sulfate. DHEA, mm-hmm. for short. And as people grow old, this sex steroid, it goes down. But you can actually reverse it through these procedures. You can change the blood pressure. You can improve your hearing. You can improve your eyesight. In short, all the things that we think go with the aging process are reversible. Most people think aging is normal. But what's normal? perhaps we are confusing the normal with the psychopathology of the average, which is dull and uninteresting. I mean, there are people who are 25 and look 40 and behave like 40. There are people who are 60 and behave and have the biology of a person who's 30.
And what we say is that was just they had good genes.
No, but that's another misconception. We think that aging has a genetic component. And yet, that's only a very partially true statement. If your parents lived up to be more than 80 years, it adds only 3 years to your life. But you can do things with your stress in the life, with the toxins in your environment, with your food, with your lifestyle, that can add 30 to 50 years, much more time to your life, and not only life to your years, but years to your life, both the quality and the quantity, and that you override the genes. Most people think aging is universal, but there are organisms in this world that never age.
Like
microorganisms, like protozoa, like certain other species, like the hydra. They keep up their metabolism in such a way that their catabolism...
I know, but they're not human beings.
But listen, they're part of nature. What it means is that in nature, there are mechanisms, and we have a biological clock that can respond to mechanisms. We are the only species, as we said earlier, who's aware of this, so we can change it.
Right, because we're the only species that knows we're aging when we're aging.
That's right, and to know that, you have a feedback loop of information. You can use that to influence the whole process.
Right, that's why people say you're only old as you think, because it's that whole 40 thing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be 40, and people are already asking me, how are you going to feel?
Right, exactly. And when, in fact, now science tells us that our biological potential is at least, and I don't even buy that, I think it's much more, but current prevailing scientific wisdom says our biological potential is 130 years, which means till you're 70, you don't even begin middle age. This is the best time of your youth.
Yes! You say that every cell in your body regenerates. If you control every cell in your body, you can remake yourself. Well, the thing is, how do you control every cell in your body? You're just trying to get a hold of the day.
No, because, see, you don't have to do it. If you just control one thing, you can control everything in the body. The human body replaces 98% of all the atoms in 1 year.
I know, it was fascinating.
Yeah, isn't that?
You
make a new liver every 6 weeks, a new skin once a month, a new skeleton once every 3 months.
Did you know that? Look at her face, she didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I read that, I was stunned by that.
Well, in less than a year, you replace your entire body down to the last atom, which means that right now what you're seeing is my 1993 model. And the body I had last year is gone.
So, which means that you really could cure yourself of whatever.
If I knew how to influence the software. This is the printout. The hardware is my brain. The software is all those chemicals we were speaking about.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a programming. It's my thoughts, feelings, emotions, and desires. Mm-hmm. But where's the programmer? It's the spirit. It's that silent space between the thoughts.
So you program the spirit, or isn't the spirit just is?
No, the spirit is just is. But when you get to the level of the spirit, then you can watch what's happening.
Okay.
And in that watching is the ability to change the program.
What you say is, I want to convince you that you are much more than your limited body, ego, and personality. The rules of cause and effect, as you accept them, cause and effect, meaning you reap what you sow all the time, cause and effect, as you accept them, has squeezed you into the volume of a body and the span of a lifetime. In reality, the field of human life is open and unbounded. At its deepest level, your body is ageless. Your mind is timeless. Once you identify with that reality, which is consistent with the quantum worldview, aging will fundamentally change. One of the things you stress is that we are what we eat.
Yes,
which means I've been a mass of potato chips and fries.
Well, actually, you see, the way I respond to food may not be the way you respond to food. We know people who say, I can eat anything I want and I never gain weight. We have other people who say, all I have to do is look at food and I start to gain weight. Well, that's because we have different metabolic responses to food.
Absolutely.
Now, if you understand that, then you can create a diet for a person that will be appropriate for them. In that there are certain foods that could speed up your body's metabolism by 25%, which no exercise in the world can do.
Yeah, do you know what those foods are,
yes,
perhaps?
Yes.
Could you leave me a list when you leave?
Yeah. They're essentially foods with bitter, pungent, and astringent taste. And there are herbs with the same taste that will do the same thing. And those are the things that your body needs, in fact, and would want to have if given the right choices. You see, what happens is we get so programmed in our society by external cues, because there's media, there's advertising.
Pills.
And they tell us what's good for us. But if we were to listen to our own bodies, the inner intelligence of the human body is the ultimate and supreme genius. It mirrors the wisdom of the universe. And
it really is a miracle, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You know, a human body can do infinite things all at the same time and correlate them with each other. A human body can think thoughts, digest food, get rid of toxins, play a piano, make a new baby all at the same time, and do all these activities
at the same time.
That's why when you said, how can I talk to every cell in my body? Well, when you're speaking to yourself, you're in fact speaking to every little cell in your body.
And so what is important is what you're telling yourself about yourself.
It's your internal dialogue. Somebody inside of you is having a conversation with themselves all the time. They never shut up, even in sleep, even in dreams. It's going on. And this internal dialogue is being reflected in your body as all these space-time events that are happening. In fact, how we experience time, how we experience food, how we experience relationships, how we experience our universe determines every little event in our body.
How did you come to know all this? I know you were a chief of staff at New England Memorial Hospital for a while, and that you were a practicing doctor just like all the other doctors out there, not talking this kind of talk.
You know, I used to tell my patients, listen, if I could help you stop smoking, decrease your alcohol consumption, cut all these drugs, and help you change your weight, then maybe we wouldn't need all these medicines. And they say, my mother-in-law says the same thing. She doesn't charge me $50. Mm-hmm. How do I do it? Mm-hmm. And I became aware that our medical training, despite the fact that it gives us all the facts, it doesn't tell us how to do these things. So I went back to my own country, India. I came across a science called Ayurveda, which is 6,000 years old and has its roots in ancient India.
Ayurveda.
That means science of life.
Yeah.
And I looked at the science behind that, and I found that here's some really ancient wisdom that you can look at through the eyes of modern science. And there are techniques here, not only to change your body weight, but to get rid of addictions, to influence how the aging process takes place, to influence the very experience of time itself.
Well, so that means that's why so many diets fail for so many people, because what's right for one body isn't necessarily right for another. And so when you get put on a blanket, quote, diet it's not necessarily what your body
wants. Body wants. And if you were taking what your body really needs and wants, you'd achieve that ideal balance without any problems. In fact, I have a whole series on just weight control through the science of Ayurveda. I'd be happy to send it to people or to you if you want, because I had the same problem. You know, I'm the same body type as you are. We're both kapha body types.
What does that mean?
Kapha means hypometabolic. We like to enjoy ourselves and take it easy and have a nice time. And our bodies
drink a little wine.
our bodies like that. And therefore, our bodies also need food that is sometimes stimulating and can override that hypometabolic tendency to speed it up now and then.
But you say one of the things that you should do is never eat with people you don't like.
Because your state of awareness will influence how your food is metabolized. There was a study done in Ohio State University where they were feeding rabbits diets that were extremely high in cholesterol. And they found, to their amazement, there was one group of rabbits that never got the high cholesterol levels. After a while, they found out that the technician who was feeding these rabbits, instead of just throwing the food at them, he would stroke them and pet them and cuddle them and kiss them and then feed them the same poisonous food. But now, as a result of that experience of happiness, they made chemicals inside their brain and the body that turned the cholesterol into a completely different metabolic pathway, making the crucial difference between life and death from what kills more people in our civilization than anything else. So it's not just the food you eat, but what your awareness, what your consciousness and your state of emotions is at the time you're eating. It will metabolize the food into an appropriate or inappropriate metabolic pathway.
And that's why if you're somebody like me who's a stressful eater, you know, you eat, and rather than confront whatever the problem is, you eat to ease the stress.
Well, then even...
then it turns into something else.
Yes. See, your state of mind can convert nectar into poison and the other way around too, poison into nectar. what happens inside your body is influenced by your consciousness. So it's very important. In fact, one of the things I tell people is if you're not feeling good, skip the meal at that time till you feel good, till you can relax, till you can enjoy it. The whole purpose of eating is a very enjoyable act. And when we eat, if we're enjoying it, then we metabolize it correctly.
One of the things you say in the book, don't drink ice water because?
Well, because your body has to waste a lot of energy to bring it to the temperature that your body is. So it's best to eat or drink food and take things at the temperature that your body is already there. Then you don't waste
it. That's so
energy.
Interesting. When I read this, Sally's the one that put the ice in.
Are you ready to unlock your inner greatness? If so, make sure to listen to my podcast, The School of Greatness, hosted by me, Lewis Howes. Join me as I sit down with world-class performers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to uncover their secrets to success with new episodes every single week. Whether you're striving for personal growth, business mastery, or simply seeking inspiration, The School of Greatness has something for you, and you can find it on SiriusXM, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe and follow to the show so you never miss an episode and start your journey to greatness today.
For me,
yeah,
but
that's okay.
When I read this, I thought, you know what? I already knew this.
Yes.
Last summer I was out hiking and I realized the water had gotten warm from the hike,
right,
that the water at room temperature or the temperature of the earth at that time was a lot easier to go down.
Right. In fact, one of the best ways to remove toxins from the body is to drink either warm water or body temperature water, 8 to 10 glasses a day, and you'll find that all these cravings that you have for things that you really don't need, they go away, because these cravings are just messages from the body that something is out of order and it's imbalanced or there are toxins there.
Really? But there has to be room temperature of the water.
Yeah, or even warm.
Even David was just saying, David's producer came out and said, but I like ice water.
Yeah, it's a conditioned response. It's like a Pavlovian reflex. He's just used to it.
Yeah, Pavlovian reflex. You say there are three body types, and they are?
They're traditionally called Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. I call them hypermetabolic, hypometabolic, and fiery metabolic. So the hypermetabolic is, as I said earlier, the kind of person who eats anything they want, never gains weight. They're vivacious, enthusiastic, ectomorphic. They're thin, bony, tendons prominent, veins, etc., prominent.
Yeah.
And under normal circumstances, very...
That's the Vata person or the...
Vata, yeah.
Vata.
Yeah, and they are very enthusiastic, vivacious, mm-hmm, but when you get them under stress, they get insomnia, anxiety, muscle spasms, menstrual cramps...
Backaches. Yeah, I know people
migraine,
like that.
Migraine headaches. Mm-hmm. Then the other type is the extreme opposite, the Kapha, the hypometabolic. Under normal circumstances, they have a lot of extra body fat, and they're sympathetic, joyful, also vivacious, friendly, compassionate. Get them under stress and they hold on to things, whether it's food or fluid or relationships or anything. And then there's the fiery metabolic, the more muscular, mesomorphic, mm-hmm, athletic types. Under normal circumstances, articulate and brave and courageous, but get them upset under stress. They get angry, they get jealous, they get impatient, they get inflammatory disorders like ulcers, and they get type A personalities and mm-hmm, hypertension and heart attacks. So each one of us is a combination usually of one or two types, or we may be a pure one type. But knowing this allows us to respond to the inner signals that we're emitting all the time. Because whenever you react to anything, whether it's a traffic jam or criticism from your boss, or a love note, or the rainy weather, or a headache, you're really reacting not to the external signal, but to something that you generate within yourself. And if you become aware of that, then and you become aware of your tendencies, then you can change things in your life, whether it's food or relationships or environment or the way you manage stress, and bring about balance. So knowing your body type helps you to create more balance
but
in your
body. But didn't
you
create your body type? Because with thoughts, you create everything. So if you are the body type, well, here we go. If you create didn't I create my own body type?
The question is when.
But when?
Yes. You know, in the framework that I come from, mm-hmm, you're not a little human being who has occasional spiritual experiences, but you're a spiritual being who has occasional human experiences.
Yeah, I believe
so
that.
So your lifespan is not just this one time around.
Yes.
So when you said, didn't you create your body type, the answer with your thoughts? Yes.
Yes.
Question is when?
Yeah.
This little lifetime is like a flicker, a parenthesis in eternity.
Oh, I love that description.
It's just little like
the, just a the, little parenthesis.
In eternity.
Just a little spit.
It's like a flash.
Yeah.
Like the flash of a firefly in the middle of the night.
It's, you know what?
And we get so caught up in this little flash.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if we could really communicate that to the world? Because I do shows all the time where neighbors can't get along and wives and husbands and children, nobody can get along. And I think, my God, we are wasting such precious planet time.
Right.
It's such a little time, this little planet time.
Right, right. And if I could shift my attention to that part of myself and carry the consciousness of eternity with me all the time, then little space-time events, little things, the trivia, the mundane things in life wouldn't bother me. And it is those mundane things in life, the triviality of our internal dialogue that gets caught up with such trivial things that interferes with our connection to the spirit.
Yeah, well, how did we get so far off track?
Because we became so externally oriented. Our goals became external. We seek money, we seek power, we seek fame. And, you know, seeking power is a need that fearful people have, that they cannot help. Because power is nothing other than another form of fear. When you have, it is a need to protect yourself. When fear is gone, you don't need power. What we really need to seek in life are the real things, like peace, like harmony, like laughter, like knowledge, like love. And when we do that, then the external things also come. But our attention has, you said, how did we get there? We lost touch with our own selves.
But wouldn't you like to have more laughter in your life? Wouldn't you? Well, you probably do laugh a lot all the time.
Laughter and carefreeness. You know, why do children play? Why do dolphins dance in the oceans? Why do people look at stars? Why do people dance? Because this is a recreational universe. It's meant for enjoyment, for play, for divinity. There's a divinity inside of you that is full of laughter. And it's when we lose touch with that laughter is then we get all kinds of problems. And people know that now. People know that when you have laughter, you make healing chemicals. Even the tears of laughter are different than the tears of sorrow.
Yes, because, I read this. That the chemical, that if you were to analyze, doesn't this fascinate you? If you were to analyze the tears from laughter or the tears from sadness, that the actual chemical component would be different.
Different, absolutely. Absolutely.
Doesn't that fascinate you? I am so fascinated by that.
Yeah.
And why is that? Mainly because of what we said earlier.
Because
every
laughter,
thought makes a chemical.
Yes, and laughter is when we enjoy the paradox that life is. Life is a paradox. And when we experience that paradox inside us, you know, there's no such thing. It's us that make sinners and saints. In reality, the sinner and the saint are merely exchanging notes. The saint has sinned, the sinner shall be sanctified one day, and it's all the same divinity playing itself out. So when we recognize and reconcile to ourselves that life is a paradox and things are not so clear-cut as we want to make them out to be, then we experience that release, and that's laughter.
Well, you say that you are what you eat, but you really are more than what you eat. You are what you think before even what you eat.
Yes, you are a complex relationship. That's what you are. You are a relationship. We are all relationships. We are inseparably interconnected to each other, even on a physical level. Right now you have in your body, right this moment you have in your body, a million atoms that were once in the body of Christ or Buddha or Genghis Khan or Mr. Saddam Hussein or Leonardo da Vinci. Just the last 3 weeks, a quadrillion atoms have gone through your body that have gone through the body of every other living species on our planet. Think of a tree in Africa, a squirrel in Siberia, a peasant in China, and you're connected with that person. That's why we have love and feeling and compassion in our lives. And when we recognize that, that we see our inseparability.
Well, if we're so connected, then why do we, as a human race of people, make such a big deal about the differences between us all?
In fact, those differences are part of the unity. We are the same being in different disguises. The differences are just disguises. And when we recognize it, the differences are there to create the experience of contrast. Without contrast, there is no experience. It would be flat. Mm-hmm. So the differences are there to give us that experience of contrast, which makes it interesting.
Oh, I got it. We're all spirits in different clothing so we could be recognized.
That's it. You say it so much better than I can say.
Because otherwise, we'd just be all just all these spirits looking alike, and we'd never know who was who.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Absolutely.
So if the mind, we're going to do this experiment to prove how powerful the mind is.
Yeah, there are many experiments you can do, but we can do the simple one if you want.
Yeah, let's do this. Stick with that one.
Okay.
A lot of pressure here. And what does this mean?
Well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Hold this string between your thumb and your forefinger. Just hold it.
Uh-huh.
Rest your elbow comfortably on your thigh.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Okay? Yeah, rest it comfortably. I'll hold it still. Now, just while you're holding that still, mentally have the idea it's moving back and forth. Mentally have the idea that it's moving. Okay? Don't worry. It'll start moving. It'll start moving wider and wider. See, it's already doing that. Okay? In any direction you want. There you are. Now, once it's doing that, just change the idea in your mind that instead of swinging it like that, it's going to start swinging like this in a different direction.
Oh, my
mentally.
Heavens.
See? Now, mentally have the idea that it's going to start making circles. Just mentally have the idea it's going to start making circles. There you are. See? Circles. Now, bigger and bigger circles. There you are.
Oh, my heavens.
Okay.
I didn't think I could do it. I was feeling a lot of pressure here.
Okay. Well, listen.
I can't believe it's doing it.
Yeah. And now have the idea that it's going to reverse the circle. So if it's making
circles.
Oh,
no, I don't know if I can do that.
Just have the idea.
Okay.
Just have the idea.
That it's going to reverse the circle.
Yes. Just keep that idea in your mind. You see, your expectancy determines outcome.
Uh-huh.
And as long as you're not attached to the outcome will be guaranteed.
Okay.
Whenever we fulfill a desire, whatever that desire is, certain things happen. Number one, we expect a certain outcome.
Oh, it just
there
switched.
There you are.
It just did it.
See?
I can't.
And this is living proof that every cell in your body is eavesdropping on your internal dialogue. And by changing your internal dialogue, you can influence the chemistry, the
even
fundamental
Sally's impressed.
Chemistry.
Even Sally's saying,
cell.
I didn't think you could do it, but you did. Every cell?
Every cell. How would this happen?
Now,
otherwise?
See, now this is amazing, because if you can do with this with a string,
right.
It means you can do it with your life.
Yeah, you can do it with anything. You can fulfill any desire in life that you want, because inherent in having the desire is the mechanics for its fulfillment. I don't have the same desires as you because nature gave me those desires that nature means to fulfill
okay,
through
okay,
me.
Okay, okay, okay. But what about poverty, though? What about if you can't pay your light bill next week so you can make a string move, but how are you going to get your bills paid?
See, what we experience as the physical world at any one point in time is the collective dream of a people that is manifesting itself as physical reality at a certain point in history.
Collective dream, collective thoughts.
Collective thoughts.
It's, yeah.
It's a stepchild of something that's abstract, but we create it. You know, there's that biblical saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day,
teach him how to fish
and you feed him for a lifetime. We can change those physical realities collectively if we all put our attention to it. That's what Martin Luther King said.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dream. And when you have that dream, you change the reality of the light bulb.
When you have the dream and you can get enough people to go along.
Go with it.
Go
then
with
it becomes true for everyone.
Right. And so for the people who are at home watching now who think, oh, well, all of this sounds well and good, but my life, I'm buried in my life.
Well, I'd like to say to them, whatever you can imagine, the best that you can imagine, you're more than that. Because when you imagine something, you still confine it to a certain, you limit it.
Yes.
You see, And you can't limit yourself because your spirit is unbounded. You know, there's a Rumi poet, Rumi from ancient Egypt, he said, or Lebanon or Middle East, or all these differences. He said, you are the unconditioned spirit trapped in conditions like the sun in eclipse. Get in touch with the spirit.
Yeah, I often say that about my own life, that people ask me about whether or not I had goals. And I say, God had a bigger goal for me than I could ever have for myself. The dream that God dreamed for me is bigger.
Much bigger
than the dream I would have
and
had
I
for
say
myself.
Something similar to myself. I say, when things don't seem to go my way, I let go of my idea of how they should be, trusting that I don't know the bigger picture. And if I knew it, boy, would I be surprised? Would I be surprised? Because it's much more perfect than I ever dreamed it could be.
So what do you say to your critics who say that this is all just very cultish and that...
You know that story about this woman walks into a doctor's office and the doctor says, you know, Mrs. Smith, I have good news for you and bad news. The good news is that modern medicine has no answer for your terminal illness. And that's the bad news is that modern medicine has no answer for your illness. And the good news is I'm a quack.
Oh, man. Man.
No, the fact is the National Institutes of Health has recently appointed me on a panel for unconventional and alternative medical practices. Sharp Medical Center, which in La Jolla is the biggest provider of healthcare, is starting with my help a new institute for human potential, longevity, and healing. And I think what we considered miracle cures in the past are becoming the science of today.
Well, you know what is interesting? I think even some of the most staunch traditionalists have made the connection between mind and body and spirit.
Yes, if there wasn't that connection, how would you wiggle your toes or do anything? Thoughts have an invisible animating power without which we would be paralyzed.
We've been talking to Dr. Deepak Chopra. I wanted to just reiterate something from Ageless Mind, Timeless Body. He says the skin replaces itself once a month, the stomach lining every 5 days, the liver every 6 weeks, the skeleton every 3 months. To the naked eye, these organs look the same from moment to moment, but they're always in flux. By the end of this year, 98% of the atoms in your body will have been exchanged for new ones. So if that is true, how can we begin to make the 98% exchange be the best ones we can get?
Learn to go back to that place from where you can rewrite the program. And once you do that, then you'll see that you're stepping into a river which looks always the same, but is never the same. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, you can never step into the same river twice. Likewise, the real you cannot step into the same flesh and bones twice because you're renewing your body more easily, more effortlessly, more spontaneously than you can even change your clothes. And if you knew how to do that, you could create a new body literally. See, if this was a brick building and we could replace every brick in 1 year, we could create a new building. But most people are stuck with the notion this is the only way to do it. Get out of that notion. Get rid of your premature commitments to reality, and you'll find there's a new reality to
it. Okay, this is the secret to a perfect, healthful, happy life. We come to the planet to really do one thing, and that is to learn how to love. Love is it. Love is really it. Isn't it true?
Yes. Think about love, talk about love, seek it and encourage it in everyone. And then that gets rid of everything because love is the ultimate truth. And it's not a mere sentiment. It's not a mere emotion. It's the ultimate truth at the heart of creation. It's the experiential knowledge of who you really are.
Thank you, Dr. Deepak Chopra. This has been really interesting. Thank you.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.